So, but we were talking this week. You know, Pastor's been ministering to some degree. I don't remember if it's here in Clay City or both, but he has been talking about how we are the church here, but we're also the church out there. You know, we're not, who we are inside these walls is not contained just inside these walls. We are to still be the same Christian that we are here in these walls as we are when we go outside of these walls. We shouldn't have any change in our demeanor, in our behavior, in our reactions to things. We should continue to be just as pumped up about the things of God as outside of here as we are inside of here. We should be just as praising, you know, going around praising and praying and doing all those things in here as we do out there, and vice versa. We need to be doing it all the time. There's a consistency to God, and there should be a consistency in us. And so in that process, as we were talking about some of those things and at home, and you know, I just began to kind of think about that and imagine what that would be like. To always, you know, the Word of God tells us that we should be in a place of constant rest. That's His design for us, is to be in a place of peace consistently all the time, right? And so that would mean that we wouldn't get on those roller coaster rides that we sometimes get on, where we, you know, we have a financial emergency and we're all, you know, and we're all excitable and anxiety ridden and whatever, and or we get a bad maybe diagnosis, a report from the doctor, and we all of a sudden get scared and in fear, and oh, you know, we're trembling and all these things, and we're calling all of our prayer people, and we're crying and whatever, right? So God never intended for us to ever live like that. That's the way the world lives. That's the way they don't have hope in anything else but in their own abilities, in their own, and for their own wisdom and their own knowledge and their own understanding. But we have it better than that. We talked about a few weeks back when I ministered about winning the lottery. It's actually, I think, for the offering, about how we are when we win the lottery. You know, if we were to win the lottery, imagine the jubilation. You know, have you ever just even, you know, like got hopeful? You know when the lottery gets way high, you know, it's like, oh, it's $350 million. You know, oh, let's buy a ticket. You know, we don't ever buy a ticket, but sometimes when it gets that high, then we, oh, think about what we could do with $350 million or whatever the amount is, you know, and we start daydreaming about all those things and we start getting excited about all those things. And the thing of it is that, and I talked about this a few weeks back too, or just maybe last Sunday, about how I had heard Kenneth Copeland, and as I was listening to him and watching his program, I got to think, man, it would be so nice not to ever have to worry about money like Kenneth Copeland does. And the Lord told me, well, why do you stress over money? You know, Kenneth Copeland doesn't have anything I don't have. Yeah, he may have money in the bank. You know, he may have more finances and so forth, but we serve the same God, and the same God who takes care of Kenneth Copeland takes care of me. And so I don't have anything that Kenneth Copeland doesn't have, and Kenneth Copeland doesn't have anything that I don't have. And so we should have the same place of peace, or be in the same place of peace and rest, or I should be, as Kenneth Copeland, right? And so in every aspect, and I'm using Kenneth Copeland as an example because, you know, well, that's who I was watching. But the truth is that every person that we can think of who lives in a place of peace and prosperity and health and long life, we have that same thing. We are all on the same level. God doesn't, you know, what does the scripture say? That He does not, help me out. It's He's no respecter of persons. As the same things He does for Keith Moore and Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin Jr. And anyone else that you can think of, and we can go on and on, the list is long, we have those same things. And so as I'm thinking about all these things, and as we're talking about all these things, you know, we started talking about what it would be like to not have to go into those valleys, to not have to have the highs and the lows, and to just be consistently at a place of peace and rest. And so, because the thing of it is, and this is what we were talking about too, we should be so in tune with what God has for us that we don't see the issues around us. You know, that they don't come across us as big issues. They don't come across as a big mountain, because the you know how you've heard the phrase making a mountain out of a molehill? How often do we do that, right? But to God, they're all not even molehills. They're not even anthills. I mean, they're just nothing. Nothing is impossible for him. Everything is flat and on an even keel for him. That's because he can handle every situation. And because he can handle every situation, we can handle every situation because we work through him. So we are, as Pastor's been talking about, we work with him. And so everything, if it's no problem, imagine if you're working with someone who has, and we'll just keep going on the financial piece of this, because we were talking about finances a few minutes ago. If I am partnered up with someone who has millions of dollars and we're getting ready to do a project, do you think for a minute that I'm gonna worry about money? Even if I have no money in my bank account, but I'm partnered with someone who has lots of money and we're getting ready to do this project together, don't you think I'm thinking the money's not an issue, right? I'm not going to be sweating over money because he's going to have the money and the funds to take care of the problem of finances when the time gets to that point in the project. So when we partner with God, all of those things that he has are just as much ours as they are his. We can partner with him in such a way that we don't worry about anything that he has already provided. He's all-knowing. We know that. He knows every pitfall that's coming. He knows every obstacle that we're going to face, and he has the solution for it all the time. So if we're partnered with him, then we should be in a constant place of peace and rest because we're never going to have to worry about those obstacles because God has a solution to all of them, right? And so if we stay in this place of constant peace and rest, then we're never going to be in a place of fear. We're never going to be in a place of anxiety. We're never going to be in a place of worry. We're never going to be in a place of pain or concern or whatever. Those things, God's life for us is to constantly be at a place of consistent peace and rest, joined with him in a place of peace and rest. The devil's world fears, goes through pain, has anxiety, goes through depression, deals with all those concerns and worry and thoughts. Those things are the devil's. That's his world. But God never intended us to live like that. And if we are, it's because we're allowing the devil's world to dictate to us how we should feel, what we should be doing, what our responses should be, our behaviors. We should be in a place where we know that we are 100% covered by God, that no report of any kind should affect us. Doesn't that seem hard to believe? But it's the truth. That is how we're supposed to be, that no report, whether it be a financial report, whether it be a health report, whether it be a, nothing. There's no report that should affect us. There's no report that should get us all out of whack and get us freaked out over something. We should not live in a crisis-to-crisis mode ever. We should never be in a place of crisis because we are joined with God. And everything that God has, we have. Every solution he has, we have. Every bit of wisdom he has, we have. Every bit of prosperity he has, we have. Every bit of health and healing, all those things, we have. Just like he does. Just like our Lord and Savior has. All of those things are already provided. So we just have to walk that out. Well, that's easy, right? It all sounds so good. So maybe we need to figure out how to go about that. But I wanted you to see and actually have kind of a visual of this is not how our life should be. We're not, and I did that really quickly, but you know how it is. It's slow, 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 up and up and up and up and boom, down here we go. And that is the roller coaster that most of us are on a regular basis. And we've talked about this in offering, at least I have been when I've delivered the offering message, is that we get ourselves in a position where we're so concerned about what the future is going to bring to us financially that we're not giving now. We're hanging on for dear life to our finances because we're afraid that if we don't, in 2 weeks' time, we're not going to have enough money to pay the rent. In 2 weeks' time, we're not going to have enough money to pay the utility bill. It's wintertime. You know what that means. The utilities all go through the roof, and I can't afford And I'm just saying things that we live sometimes. And so when we live in that constant roller coaster ride, we're never in a place of peace. We're not sleeping. We're not resting. We're not eating properly. Our health then It covers so many things of us physically because that stress starts to have impact on our bodies. Our spirit says, trust me, trust me, trust me. And our bodies and our flesh, you know, our minds are going, whoo, 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 on this little thing. You know, oh, but what, but what, but what if? And the Lord has all of that already taken care of, and we are secure in knowing that He has taken care of all those things. Now, it's going to require a few things on our part, right? Those things are already taken care of, but for us to walk in it, we're going to have to do some things, right? So the first thing, and these are not in any particular order, actually, but we're going to go through like six different things that we're going to discuss as far as those things are concerned. We need to be seeking Him. We have to seek God. He has made Himself available to us, but we have to draw near to Him. We have to seek Him because that's where the blessing is. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. We're going to go through a lot of scripture now as we go through these things. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11. And I'm not going to turn with you because I've got a lot of them. I've got them already printed out. I'm just way ahead of you. And some of them I won't make you turn to. So, but 1 Chronicles 16, 11 says, and my translation is the NIV, look to the Lord and His strength, seek His face. This says continually, and mine says always. We should always, always, always be seeking the Lord. Not using our own knowledge and understanding, we'll come to some of these things as we go on further, but our number one thing should be seeking the Lord in everything. In every situation, in every moment, in everything, we just need to be seeking Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. And He rewards, who rewards? God rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek Him. Diligently, earnestly, constantly, continually, always we should be seeking Him in everything. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, this should be familiar. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Again, seek God first. We talked about that with giving recently because we get into such a place where we're only thinking about us and not seeking what God wants. And we have to always be seeking God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. I do love Deuteronomy. We should spend more time in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and all your soul. If you seek after the things of God, guess what? You're going to get the things of God. That's the thing, is that we have to diligently pursue the things of God. And when we do, then the blessings that He has for us become very clear and very evident. And when we seek after Him, then we do hook up and work with Him instead of against Him. Anytime that we are doing our own thing, and especially if it falls in line with the world's way, we're going against the things of God, and that's not working with Him. That's getting us further from where we need to be. So everything, if we seek God, then we're going to get godly results. We're going to receive godly things. Those are our answers, are going to come from godly places instead of worldly places. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We get to a place sometimes, I say we, and most of this stuff, I mean, we've all lived it and we're living it now. I mean, in so many ways. We do things halfway. You know, I'll get so good, and I'll be so good for 3 days. It's just like our diet. We'll do so good, and, you know, through lunch, and then in the middle of the afternoon, we start to get hungry. Guess what we do? We ruin it. But the thing is that often we get into that place with the Lord where we're praying, we're doing what we're supposed to do, we're in the Word, we're doing our devotions, we're doing all these things, and we're seeking, and we're seeking, and we're seeking, and then, you know, couple days later, well, you know, I was busy, or I went here and I went there and I wasn't spending that time. I'm not saying that you can't go about your life, but you need to constantly be in communion with the Lord all through that. in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And of course, the translations are a little different there. So, we have to seek him. We have to set our purpose to hunger and thirst for him. And so how do we, what does that mean? We need to get into the Word. We have got to get into the Word. It tells us in, let's go over to to Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. This is all familiar. I know this is, I'm actually going to use this again, my translation of this in the NIV. Keep this book, this is verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So he tells us very clearly that when we seek him, when we are getting into the Word and we meditate on what's in here, that that's when we become prosperous and successful. And successful is not what the world thinks of successful. Successful is what God thinks is successful. So when we get into the Word, the world may see things totally different in the view of successful. But God sees us successful when we're meditating on the Word. But then it also says, be careful that you do everything written in it. And we're going to get to obedience in a few minutes. But that's what that means. That's obeying what it says. And then you'll have prosperity and you'll have success. It goes on, he says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. And this is, of course, same pretty much words there. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We walk down certain pathways, and as we go down those pathways, it can be natural for us to get into a place of fear. It can be natural for us to get into a place of discouragement or frustration. But God says he has never left us. If we stay linked with him, and again, he is our source. He is the source of the finances. He is the source of the peace. He is the source of our healing. He is our source for everything. Just like that partner that I talked about when we got ready to do a project, he's the source. And as long as he has everything I need, I don't have any reason to be afraid. I don't have any reason to be frustrated. I don't have any reason to be discouraged or upset or easily angered or stressed out to the max or any of those things. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, again, get in the Word. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And of course, this is talking about the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Renewing our mind means we have to get into the Word. There's no other way to renew your mind but through this. That this is the way that you renew your mind according to God's will. And when you renew your mind according to God's will, that's when you can determine things that are right, that are pure, that are just, that are good and acceptable and the perfect will. The good and acceptable is not good enough. It needs to be the perfect will of God. But we can see things that are good and we can see things that are right and just. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So again, delight in the law of the Lord. This is the law of the Lord. The word of God is the law of the Lord. Meditate on it day and night. And that person who does that will have their fruit, or their tree is planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Don't you want to prosper in everything you do? That's what we're going through, so that everything that you do hooks up in agreement with God and partners with him, and everything you do prospers. And when everything prospers, it's like winning the lottery. We should always be in a place of excitement because we are so well cared for by our Father. He has taken care of every single thing we could possibly need. It does, even if it doesn't look like it. There's time, you know, we've talked about this, that even, let me ask you this. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, he cursed the fig tree as they walked along their way, as they were going back to rest, basically leaving the city and going back to rest. They walked by this fig tree. There was no fruit on it, and he was hungry. And when he got to it, he was upset there was no fruit, and he just cursed it and said, "You shall no longer bear any fruit." Did immediately the whole thing just go wonk? No. It didn't wither away just like that. In the natural, it looked like nothing had happened, right? So, but did Jesus question it once? Did he say, "Well, I said you're cursed"? No, I said you're, and you know, he didn't just stand there and scream at it until it did what he wanted. He just walked on because he knew that it was taken care of. And he didn't have to look back at it. He didn't have to keep checking it every hour. He didn't have to keep going out there and knocking on it to see if it was getting hollow on the inside or looking for any dead leaves or anything like that. He knew it was taken care of. He said it loud enough that his disciples heard it, and it wasn't until the next day as they started to walk that he didn't even look at it again. He wasn't paying any attention to it. It was Peter who said, "Lord, look at that tree. That's the tree that you cursed. It looks like it's dead from the root, you know, from the inside out, from the roots out." And so that's it. It didn't happen immediately in the natural, but it was working. What Jesus did when he cursed that tree is he put that into motion. And as a result, it took a little bit for the outward signs to appear, but it was already dying on the inside. The work was already in progress. Whenever we hook up and link arms with the Lord and we're walking side by side with him and we need things, it may not look like in the natural those things are coming to pass yet. However, we just stay. We just stay in that place of peace. We just stand firm in what we already know to be true. And the next time we look, there's going to be fruit from it. Or there's going to, in this case with Jesus, the tree died. There was no fruit. But my point is that we don't often see the results immediately. We're not going to see things in the natural right away. It's going to take a little time for those things to start to be evident. But that doesn't mean God's not doing it. That doesn't mean that he hasn't already taken care of it. That doesn't mean he's not already started the wheels in motion and making those things happen. Okay, so that was a side journey. That wasn't in my notes. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This should be familiar because we just heard it a few moments ago. We're going to go down the path of obeying God. So now we have sought the Lord. We've got into his word. We know what his word says. And what does he say? He says to obey it. Do what the word says, and then you'll prosper and be successful. So in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. And if you continue, it goes on, just like Pastor read to us, all the things that God has provided for us, it takes place once we have obeyed the commands. But as he said, we're not under the curse of the law. So the law are not the commands we need to follow. The commands we need to follow are to love God with all our heart and all of our mind and to love others the same way that God loves us. Those are our two commands. That's what we need to obey. And when we get into the word and we see what God wants us to do, then we know, and when we obey, then we get all the things that he has promised us in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commands. Obey me. He's telling us, obey me. In Luke 11:28, he says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. I want to be blessed. And so when we get into the word, we know what it is that he says, and we obey it, then we're blessed. And so again, that if we're doing these things, then we are hooking up in agreement with God. We're doing everything that he said, and we're partnering with him. We're walking along beside him, and he's our source. He just keeps feeding us everything that we need, taking care of everything. But we need to keep our thoughts right, because the other thing that's going to happen is as soon as you're walking this way, the devil's going to say, wait a minute. Don't you remember who you are? You're that person that did this wrong and did this wrong and did this wrong and did this wrong. He's quick to remind us of all the things that we have done wrong, right? He is also going to try to put us in a place of fear. You know, we talked about that. I can sit, you know, with the giving and how we can get into a place where with our finances we're concerned and we're in fear. It can be with that with sickness. You know, when we get a bad report from the doctor, we can get into a place of fear. We can get into a place of fear when it comes to our children and our grandchildren. We can. There are tons of, what are they called, internet memes. Do you know what a meme is? There's a few of you that do, but it's basically the little phrases that are out there on the internet, and they'll tell you in these little cartoons and these little memes that you're not a good mother unless you worry, that you're not a good grandma unless you are constantly worried about your grandchildren and your children. I can tell you that I don't worry about my children and my grandchildren, and I am a great grandmother and mother. So the devil is always trying to get us into a place where we're in fear, where we're in worry, where we're in concern, when we're thinking about the things of our past, when we're reliving things we've done wrong, when we get into a place of guilt and condemnation. That's what the devil wants you to do. And when we do that, I was sharing last night with the girls in youth. Do you remember, and some of you probably do this now, I shouldn't say do you remember, but have you ever had those moments where when you've done something wrong, you don't want to face some, you know, that person or that thing. So I'm trying to remember what it was that I shared with them, what my example was. But let's just say that I have upset my dad, you know. The one thing I don't want to do now is call my dad. You know, I don't want to talk to him because I know I've upset him. And so have you ever been in that place where you don't want to go and face some of the things that maybe you're in a, you know, you're feeling bad about, something you've done wrong that you don't want to face? And when we think back on the things, and sometimes we don't have to think that far back. Sometimes it was just last week that I did something wrong. One of the things, when I got divorced, I still prayed a little bit, but I did everything I could to avoid God, because I knew I had disappointed him. I knew the things that I had done were not right. And I knew that the divorce was, you know, it wasn't in God's best for me. And because of that, I didn't go back to church. I didn't endeavor to seek the Lord because I didn't want to have to face him when I had done something wrong. And so when we get into this place where the devil is reminding us of our past, reminding us of things we've done wrong, the one thing that sometimes happens is then I don't want to spend any time with God because I'm reminded of those things and I'm in a place of guilt and I'm in a place of condemnation. That's where the devil wants us. He wants us turning from the things of God in a place of frustration, in a place of anger, in a place of depression, in a place of anxiety, and in a place of guilt and condemnation. And so if he's going to do everything he can to get us into that place so that we stop partnering with God, so that we separate ourselves from the things of God, and in doing so, we're stepping away from all the blessings that God has for us. We're taking our own directions. We're making our own decisions. We're going down pathways that he never intended for us to go. And trust me, I know that from experience. And so when I got into that place where I was not wanting to face God, then I was not getting in understanding his will. I was shutting off the voice of the Holy Spirit telling me what to do on the inside when he was trying to direct me down God's pathway, and I was shutting that off because I didn't want to face God. And so I was going the other direction, and my decisions that I was making on those other directions were not good for me. They were so far from God, and to the point where it come to the, you know how you hear people get to their breaking point. I got to that breaking point finally and had to repent, and then I turned the other direction and went the other way, and God blessed me tremendously, and he's sitting on the front row. Now, it's just not in that way, but in every way. And so we have got to avoid and allow, or not, we have got to keep from allowing the devil and other things too. Sometimes it's our flesh, whatever it is, to stop getting into our thoughts and causing us to. So we've got to keep our thoughts right. I said all that to say this. We've got to keep our thoughts right. Okay, so he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we demolish, and let's put that up. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I want to see what it says in the King James. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So this says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So everything that is going away from the things of God, we need to cast those things down. We need to put a stop to those thoughts and demolish those thoughts in our head and take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Well, how do we make it obedient to Christ? Well, I can tell you. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, you remember this actually follows some very familiar territory where it says, cast your cares upon the Lord in everything, in prayer and supplication, you know, that passage. But he goes on and he says, finally, brethren, let me just start this way. He's saying, think on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever, and I'm going to read mine, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, and if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, those are the things we should be thinking on. So if the devil's coming at us with thoughts about our past or thoughts about someone or something or whatever the case is, and it doesn't meet these qualifications, then we need to cast it down and change our thoughts to these thoughts. That's how we eliminate the devil in getting into our head. That's how we keep him from interfering in our lives. And we'll just keep on going. And in verse 9, it says, whatever you have learned, and this is Paul talking, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. So basically, you've seen me do these things, so now you do them. Then he says, the God of peace will be with you. When we get ourselves into a place where we're thinking only on the things of God, when everything that the Word of God has told us to think on in every situation, in every moment, there is nothing that He hasn't taken care of for us. And when we think about it in that perspective instead of what the devil's trying to throw at us, then the God of peace will be with us. And the God of peace is an everlasting peace. That is something that as long as we stay in this place where we're constantly thinking about the right things, we can't help but be in peace. How could we? Because we're already saying all the things that God has already said He's provided for us. We're putting those things into our thought life. And how could we possibly be disrupted with anything other than just peace? We should just constantly be in a place of peace then. And every time the devil tries to throw something at us, we can turn around and say, because my God provided this, because my God says this, because my God has done this for me, I don't have those things. Those things that the devil's trying to tell me, I don't even give him a second thought because my thoughts are all on his thoughts. And his thoughts become the place where I stay in peace. So keep your thoughts right. And then, of course, it tells us in Romans 12, 2, again, not to be conformed to this, to the pattern of this world, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Every thought we have is in our mind. And so when we're staying in this place where we are keeping our thought life straight, then we're constantly renewing our mind with the things of God. And that is, again, that part of keeping our thoughts straight, renewing our mind on the things of God. So we are seeking the Lord. We are getting in the Word. We are obeying His commands. We are keeping our thoughts right. We're going to ask for wisdom next. How often do you not know what to do, right? And when you are partnered with God and He is the all-knowing, He has every answer, then all we have to do is ask Him. He tells us in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, you should just ask God. How simple is that? If you just stopped right there and didn't do anything else, you know, well, you don't know what to do? Ask God. It's so simple, and yet we don't find ourselves doing it. Instead, we rely on our own understanding and our own knowledge. But he goes on and he tells us that he will not, he gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to us. In Psalm chapter 25, we've been talking about this, verses 4 and 5, we ask the Lord to show me our way, or show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me. You are my God and my Savior, and all my hope is in you all day long. So we don't have to ever wonder what to do or walk around going, I don't know, you know, because we have the Lord who already knows everything and can just give it to us. Every single thing that we have, we can ask Him, show me what you have for me. Teach me your path. Show me what it is that you, you know, when it comes to taking, you know, organizing something, there are times where I come up on something that I've never done before. And I think, okay, Lord, how are we going to do this? I don't know where to begin. Show me where to begin. And His path to where to begin is going to be different even than what the world says it might be. You know, if it comes to, and I'm just going to, we'll just throw out finances. We've been talking about finances. If I have to create a budget to try to get to a project or whatever, and I don't necessarily know how to do it, if I ask God, he's going to take me and direct me to a place where I'm going to get results versus if I just think, okay, well, first step, I need to go to the bank. You know, not always is that the right step first. But God, who is all-knowing, he knows in his infinite wisdom which way to go. So we need to seek his path. We need to seek his method, you know, and not what we know in our own power. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In my knowledge, I have certain things because based on, of you know, knowledge and experience. So I might know that if I drive my car 100 miles an hour, like I did last week, and I didn't really, but I'm just saying I did. If I drove my car 100 miles an hour and nothing happened, then my experience says going forward that I can drive my car 100 miles an hour and nothing will happen, right? Because I'm basing that on my experience. But God, who knows everything, is trying to tell me, no, don't do that. Because it could be that on this day when I'm driving 100 miles an hour in the place that I'm driving, it could be the same stretch of road. There's a cop up there waiting for me to drive 100 miles right in front of him, and he's going to revoke my license for reckless endangerment or something, you know, because I'm being nuts. The thing is, these are extreme examples. It could be anything. You know, we've talked about my testimony, how as I'm driving, the fog was so awful, I couldn't see the front end of the car, couldn't see the signs of the road, didn't know where I was most of the time as I'm driving, but I heard the Lord tell me to drive in the left lane. In the left lane, my experience would tell me that, you know, I'm not supposed to drive in the left lane because the police tell you that you should always be in the right lane unless you're passing. So my knowledge of the law and my experience tell me not to drive in the left lane, but God said to drive in the left lane, and because I drove in the left lane, I avoided a deadly accident. And that's the truth. That's not just an exaggeration. That is 100% the truth. Because I listened to God's wisdom on how to get myself to work that day, I avoided so many things instead of relying on my own trust and on my own knowledge and my own experience, I listened to him. And in doing so, I learned his path. I took his path. I let him lead me, and therefore, my path was straight. And I'm here today because of it. Praise the Lord. I know you're all excited too. All right, Proverbs 8, chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, you all should know this, it's on the front of your notebooks. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for every day, joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I'll say. For the fountain of life pours into you every time that you find me, and this is the secret of growing in the delight and the favor of the Lord. When we seek God's wisdom, when we wait to hear from him on what to do, that's where we stay in a place of joy. That's where we stay in a place of favor with him. That's where he delights in us, because we're seeking him, not our own wills, not our own destiny, you know, our own journeys and our destinies that we have created for ourselves. We're seeking what God has for us. Okay, the last one, we need to pray. We're really pray and praise God. And again, these are not in any particular order. So this is something I actually put it last because I had a lot more scripture, but it actually is one of the things we should be doing right away. And, you know, Pastor has talked about, and I don't know who it is, and he'll tell you because I just don't know who it is, but there's a minister or someone famous, I'm sure, who said, and he's going to laugh when I say this, who says, I rarely pray for more than 20 minutes. However, I rarely go 20 minutes without praying. Who was it? Smith Wigglesworth. You know, one of those just guys. Smith Wigglesworth. They asked him, you know, how long do you pray? And that's when he said, you know, I rarely pray more than 20 minutes. Our prayers do not have to be long and exaggerated and detailed and like Pastor Earl's. And I'm not saying his are long and exaggerated. I mean, all of our prayers don't have to be like his that he demonstrates for us so well. And he can pray. The point is that we stay in constant communion with the Lord. We stay constantly in a place where we are seeking him. where we want His will. We're asking for His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding, His ways. And we can only do that if we're staying in communion with Him. And that means staying in a constant place of prayer. And not just prayer, but praise. Because if we're walking this life that He's designed for us to be so smooth, and so, now it doesn't mean we won't face trials. It just means our behavior and our reaction to that trial is not going to be, whoa! It's going to be even keel. Well, my Lord supplies everything I need for every situation, every trial. There is nothing at all that I'm going to face that He hasn't already faced and taken care of on my behalf. So therefore, I'm staying at this same level of peace. And in that place, and because He designed this for us to be this way, then we should always be praising God because He's blessing us constantly in that place. We're constantly getting wisdom to know what to do in every situation. We're constantly being provided for every single solution, every escape, everything that we need in every situation is being taken care of by our God. And so we should, just as much as we pray, and we should be thanking Him. And we can be thanking Him for things that He's already provided that we don't even know yet. I mean, so we can always be in a place of praise and prayer, praise and petition, praise and, you know, just walking in that communion with Him. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We should always have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Philippians 4, 6, this is where it talks about being in place of prayer. We talked about this earlier. Do not be anxious about anything. We have no reason to be anxious. We're in a place of peace. We're in a place of rest. We're on this even, nice place. Plateau, I suppose. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. 1 John 5:14 through 15, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, how do we ask? In prayer, that He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Everything, when we are in this place of communion with God, we know His will. We have His wisdom. We have His knowledge. And what's He say? Everything that we ask, we get the yes when we're in that place. And we get the amen to that. And so be it. God has taken care of it. And so everything that that we ask Him, He hears, and He has provided it. And in James chapter 5, verse 13, if any of you among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. We need to constantly be praising God too. And lastly, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 through 14, it says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and the places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back into the place from which I carried you into exile. We have gotten ourselves so far off at times that it seems like we can't get back. But He says He will carry us right back. All we have to do is just come to Him and seek Him and pray, and He will come back and retrieve us and bring us right back to where we were. You know, I made mistakes. There were things in my life that I did wrong. I talked about my divorce. That was just one of two divorces. The thing is that even in that place where I was so far from God, where I wasn't leaning on Him, I wasn't talking to Him, I wasn't seeking after Him, I wasn't doing those things, and I was going down wrong pathways, when I finally got to that place where I've repented and turned, He has put me right where I probably would have been had I listened and followed. I just wouldn't have had all the turmoil that I did. He brings us back and puts us right where we're supposed to be. He brings us up to speed. He catches us up. He forgives us, and we move forward. And so that is how, when we hook up with God, that partnership with Him, that's what keeps us. That's how He keeps us. He keeps us in that place of constant peace and of constant rest, to where, you know, even if we get off, He's going to bring us back. All we have to do is just turn and go. And He'll, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. Bring me back. Lord, I'm sorry. Bring me back. It's not too late. There's never a point in time in your life where it's too late, especially if you're here in this.